Now, I want you to open your Bibles with me today to the book of John. I'm going to be reading a passage of Scripture from John 17, the 17th chapter of John. Now, I don't know how many people would actually do this, but I'll tell you what a blessing it would be. What a lifelong blessing it would be if every one of you would read the 17th chapter of John. Read it carefully, read it prayerfully. Ask God to open up to you that 17th chapter of John. I tell you, it's just a special, special portion of God's Word. We need to become acquainted with this part of Scripture. You see, this is our Lord's great priestly prayer. This is the Son talking with the Father. Our Lord Jesus Christ speaking to the Father about Himself and about His redemptive work and about His people whom He came to redeem. That's what John 17 is all about. These words spake Jesus and lifted His eyes to heaven. And He said, Father, and then He began to talk about Himself and His glory, about His redemptive work and about His people. And if I could just impress upon you the importance of this part of God's Word, if I could get you just to sit a little while today and read prayerfully and slowly and carefully this 17th chapter of John and ask the Spirit of God to be your teacher. Now, I'm not going to try to preach from the whole 17th chapter of John, all the verses. I'm not going to try to do that. Someone said one time it'd take years of preaching to do justice to the 17th chapter of John. But I want to take just one verse. If you have your Bible there, turn to John 17 and look at verse 24. I'm just going to take one verse and preach from this one verse. But I'll show you from this one verse how important this Scripture is. And I believe the blessing we're going to get today from this one verse will encourage you to read the rest of it. Now, here's the title of the message: A Prayer That Is Certain to Be Answered. A prayer, here's a prayer that is certain, absolutely certain to be answered. Now, here's the verse, verse 24. Listen to it. Father, I will that they also whom Thou hast given Me be with Me where I am, that they also may behold My glory. For Thou lovest Me before the foundation of the world. Now, at the very beginning of this verse, the very beginning, Father, I will that those whom Thou hast given Me be with Me where I am. These first three words are very unusual. No human lips have ever prayed like this before. And no human lips have prayed like this since then. These first three words are so different, so unusual. Here is a man praying, and he says, this is what I will. This is what I want. I will this. You know, Abraham was the friend of God, and he got very near to God. The Scripture says God spoke to Abraham as a man speaks to his friend. But Abraham never prayed this way. Abraham never prayed this way at all. Listen to the way he prayed when he was praying, interceding for Sodom and for Lot. He prayed this way. He said, I've taken upon Myself to speak with God. I'm nothing but dust and ashes. Very humbly. He never said, I will that You spare Sodom. He didn't say to the Father, this is what I want You to do, spare Sodom. These men always prayed God's will to be revealed to them. But here, the Lord Jesus said, Father, this is what I will. You know, Jacob had power with God. He was named by God a prince. God said to him, Your name will be no longer Jacob, but Israel, a prince with God. And yet the boldest words that Jacob ever used were these: I will not let thee go except thou bless me. He never prayed, I will. And then Daniel was a man of prayer, a man whom God honored. And yet, listen to Daniel. When he prayed, he said, O Lord, righteousness belongs to thee, but unto us confusion of faith. And the Apostle Paul was a man of prayer, but he never prayed this way. He always prayed as a humble sinner before God. But when this man, Jesus Christ, prayed, he said, Father, I will, that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am. This is what I will. Now, how can this man be so bold? How can he pray in this way? Well, here's the reason. First of all, he said, I and my Father are one. This man is the God-man. He thought it not robbery to be equal with God. In fact, Paul, writing about him, said, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in human flesh. Paul said God was in Christ. John said the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father. Isaiah said, a virgin shall conceive and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Emmanuel, God with us. So Jesus Christ could say, Father, this is my will, because he and the Father are one. He thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Secondly, because his will, now here's where we run into trouble. His will and the Father's will are one. What Christ will was what the Father will. He said, I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. This is my will. It's his will. And this is the will which of him which has sent me, that of all which he had given me, I'll lose nothing. He said in Hebrews 10, lo, in the volume of the book it's written of me, I come, O God, to do thy will, by the which will we're sanctified once for all by the offering of Jesus Christ. This man, according to the will of God, perfected forever them that are sanctified. So he and the Father are one. His will and the Father's will are one. And then he prayed this way. He prayed as the Redeemer who had fulfilled all that the Father gave him to do. You and I can't pray that way. We've sinned and come short of the glory of God, but Christ said, I have glorified thee on this earth. That's a totally different way of praying. We have sinned and come short of the glory of God. No man on this earth in human flesh has ever accomplished the glory of God except Christ. He said, I have glorified you on this earth. I have finished the work you gave me to do. And therefore he could pray, I will. You see that? Father, I will. Another thing in verse 6, he said, I've manifested your name. No man knoweth the Father but the Son, and he to whom the Son will manifest or reveal him. Another thing, he said, I have given thy word to the men which thou gavest me. I have kept those whom thou gavest me. I've done all you gave me to do perfectly. I've been tempted in all points yet without sin. Which of you can convince me of sin? I've done all that the law required. I've fulfilled all that justice demanded, so I'm entitled to half what I purchased. That's right. He who spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him freely give us all things? He shall see of the travail of his soul and be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Oh, yes, it's impossible this prayer should not be answered. It's impossible this prayer should not be fully answered and his will fully accomplished, because he said, I know the Father always hears me because I always do those things that please my Father. So right at the beginning of this prayer, it ought to catch our attention. Here is a man, the God-man, praying, Father, I will. And he could pray that way because he and the Father are one. He said, he that has seen me hath seen my Father. He could pray that way because his will and the Father's will are one. He could pray that way because he's done everything that God required of a man perfectly. And his prayer will certainly be answered. All right, the next question then has got to be, here we've got a prayer before us that will be answered It shall be done. Isaiah said he cannot fail. He cannot be discouraged. So here's the next question. For whom does he pray? When he says, here's the Son talking to the Father. Here's the great prophet, priest, and king. Here's the great King of the kingdom asking that someone be with him where he is. And that someone shall behold his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now, who are these people for whom he prays? Well, he tells you no less than 6 times. That's the reason I want you to read this chapter. No less than 6 times he tells you for whom he prays in this one chapter. 24, 25 verses, and he tells you 6 times for whom he prays. Look at verse 9. Have you ever seen this verse before? Verse 9, John 17, 9. Look at it in your Bible. Verse 9. I pray for them. I pray not for the world. Christ said, I don't pray for everybody. I don't pray for the world. If he prayed for the world, he'd have the world. If he prayed for everybody, he'd have everybody. Because his prayer must be heard. His prayer must be answered. He cannot pray contrary to the will of the Father. But I don't pray for the world. I pray for them. Who is them? Well, look at the next line. I pray for them which thou hast given me. For they are thine, and all mine are thine, and thou gavest them me. I pray for them. You see, he uses this phrase over and over and over again, 6 times in this passage. Look at verse 2. Thou hast given me power over all flesh, that I should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given me. I pray not for the world, I pray for them which thou hast given me. Because you've given me authority over all flesh that I should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given me. Look at verse 6. I've manifested thy name. To whom? Unto those which thou hast given me. Look at verse 12. I've kept them. I've kept them in thy name. I've kept whom? I've kept them which thou hast given me. Those which thou hast given me I have kept, and none of them lost. Look at verse 11. Father, I pray for them. Keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me. And now at verse 24, our text. Father, I will. I will. This is my will. This is the Son's will. This is the Father's will. And this is the will that shall be done. He doeth according to his will in the armies of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. That's what Daniel wrote. He worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. That's what Paul wrote twice in Ephesians 1. Father, I will that those whom thou hast given me be with me where I am. In other words, the Lord Jesus declares that the Father has the same interest in these people that he has because they're the Father's people too. Look back at verse 9 again. What did he say? I pray for them. Father, I will that those whom thou hast given me, I pray for them. I pray not for the world. I pray for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. This is why I pray for them. They're yours. And all yours are mine. And thine are mine, and mine are thine. What is mine is yours. He said, my sheep hear my voice, and I give them eternal life, and they'll never perish. My Father, which gave them to me, is greater than all. And no man can pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. My Father gave them to me, and what's mine is his, and what's his is mine. That's the reason this prayer certainly shall be answered. Well, let me ask this question. Is there a mark? Is there a mark whereby these people may be known? I know God knows them. He said, I know my sheep. I know my sheep and am known of mine. But is there any way that they may be known by others? Is there any way that they may know that they're his sheep and his people and one whom the Father hath given to the Son? Is there any way you can know and I can know? Oh, yes. There's a certain mark. A certain mark. You know what it is? They come to Christ. He said in John 6:37, all that my Father giveth me will come to me. They will come to me. They'll come believing. They'll come confessing. They'll come converted. They'll come lovingly. They'll come willingly. But they'll come to Christ. They'll come to Christ. Psalm 110 verse 3 says, thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. They'll come. I'm not saying that they must come to the front of a church or come to a preacher or come to an altar. They come to Christ. He said in Matthew 11, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I'll give you rest. You come to me. And this is a sure mark of those people for whom Christ prayed and who were given to him by the Father. They'll come to him. They'll come to him. As many as believed on him, to them gave he the privilege to become sons of God. The second mark of these people is this. They love Christ, whom having not seen, ye love. Though you see him not, now you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. He said, Peter, do you love me? Yea, Lord, thou knowest I love thee. Then feed my sheep. That's the bond between the Savior and his people. He loves them and they love him. We love him because he first loved us. One of the apostles said, if any man love not the Lord Jesus, let him be accursed. Let him be anathema, maranatha, under a curse, the Lord's coming. They come to Christ. They love Christ. I'll tell you another mark. They love each other. By this shall all men know you're my disciples, if you love one another. He that loveth not knoweth not God. God is love. And then another mark of these people, they walk with Christ. They're identified with Christ. They confess him. It says in Romans 10, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus to be Lord, and believe in thine heart God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So there is a mark. They may be known. They may know that they know Christ. And they may be known that they know Christ because they come to him. All that my Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, I'll in no wise cast out. They love Christ. They love each other. And they walk with Christ. All right, here's the third thing that I want to mention from this prayer. Now, first, Father, the Son says, I will. And the people for whom he prays, those that thou hast given me. Well, what does he ask for them? What does he pray for them? Well, look at it. What does he pray for them? Two great and wonderful things. Two great and marvelous things. First, he says that they may be with me where I am. I pray that all whom you have given me be with me where I am. Where is he? Well, Hebrews 1 says he's at the right hand of the majesty on high. He's in the heavens. He's within the veil. Within the veil. He's in the presence of the Father. He's on the right hand of God. And he prays that we might be with him there. You know, that's what he said to his disciples after he arose from the grave, or before he went to the cross. He said to his disciples, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also, where I am. Father, this prayer, I will that those whom thou hast given me be with me where I am. And I'll tell you this, to be with him is to be like him. Because no one can live in the presence of God who is not like Christ, perfectly holy. To be with him is to forever be with him. To forever be with him. And to be with him is to never die. Because the last enemy that he shall destroy is death. And to be with him is to be satisfied. David said, I'll be satisfied when I wake with his presence, with his likeness in his presence. And he said, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Father, I will that all whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, where I am. And then notice the next word, to behold my glory. Now, he doesn't say, I want them to be with me where I am so they can shake hands with mother again and one another again and behold one another again and behold their own glory and behold their own works and count their crowns. He said, I want them to be with me that they may behold my glory, my glory. And I'll tell you, his glory is a threefold glory. And I'm in an area now that men know nothing about. Nothing. Very little. And that's the glory of God. But I do know the glory of Christ is threefold. First, there's his original glory. His original glory, majesty, brightness. The brightness of the Father's glory. He said, Father, glorify me with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Now, you don't know anything about that, and I don't either. But he said in Proverbs 8, I was daily his delight with him before he made the stars, before he made the earth. I was with him, daily his delight. So there's something about his original glory. We're going to get to see some of that. And then there's his redemptive glory. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. What glory? His redemptive glory. The glory of his mercy. The glory of his grace. The glory of his redemptive work. John said, I saw him. I heard him. I touched him. The Word of life, eternal life, that eternal life which I saw, I declare unto you. And Moses says, show me your glory. And God says, I'll be merciful. That's my glory. I'll be merciful to whom I will. That's my goodness. And I see that glory of Christ. And then thirdly, there's his eternal glory. It says, the God of all grace who hath called you to his eternal glory. Now, I don't know a lot about that, but I do know Paul went up there to the third heaven one time. He said, whether I was in the body or out of the body, I don't know. But I heard things that it's not possible for me to utter. That glory. The glory is eternal glory. The glory God talks about in Revelation 21 when he says there'll be no more pain, no more sorrow, no more sickness, and no more darkness, and no more night, and no more death. The former things have passed away. I make all things new, God said. And God will be their God and dwell with them, and they'll be his people, and he'll wipe all tears from their eyes. That glory. Father, I will that all of those you've given me be with me where I am to behold my glory, and behold it forever. Now watch this last line. Why should the Father do this for you and me? For what reason does the Lord Jesus ask the Father to cleanse us and forgive us and redeem us and receive us and let us stand in his presence and share the glory which thou hast given me, Christ said, I've given them. Why? Well, he tells us right here. Father, I will that those whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold forever my glory. For thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. He doesn't plead your works or my works or your profession or my profession or what you've done or what you've said or what you've given or how many souls you've won. He doesn't say you're worthy. He doesn't even plead God's love for you. He said, you do this for them, for my sake, because you love me. Scripture says that in John 3, the Father loveth the Son and hath given all things into his hands. He that believeth on the Son hath life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life. The wrath of God abideth on him. Christ said, you love them for my sake. You receive them for my sake. You look not on them, you look on me. You judge them not, you judge me. Bless them for my sake. Love them for my sake. Receive them for my sake. You do this because you love me. I've got three children and some grandchildren, daughters-in-law and a son-in-law. If they were to ask me, Father, would you do this for me? I say, anything I can, I'll do for you. Anything within my power, I'll do for you. Well, let me tell you something. If you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give good things to them that ask him? And this one who's asking him, or telling him what he wants, what he wills, is his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you, he prays for me and for you. And he said, you bless them because you love me. Because you love me. I heard about a preacher saying this week, he made a reservation in heaven 40 years ago. Well, I'll tell you this, I hope he didn't make it in his name. I hope he didn't make it in his name. That reservation better be made by Christ, in Christ's name, for Christ's sake. Because that's the only way God will ever save, love, keep, or glorify any son of Adam. It's for Christ's sake. For Christ's sake. And he tells us to love and forgive one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, forgave us.